The Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. Hey everybody, the original crew is back together for The Social Geeks. Myself, Corvita, Sarah, Caleb, Wayne, Jeff, all sitting together for a good hour talking about all the hottest news up to date as of today.
I'll stop eating as well once we start.
We're never going to get good. Just clear it from there. Episode 26, The Social Geeks, reunion special, 10 years, we don't know where anyone's been, they've all got new jobs and families, and everyone's changed. No, the whole crew is here, everyone is back. I'm going to read down the screen in the order in which they joined the call. So, Caleb, sir,
hello.
He is back in here. Where are you sitting today? Where are you sitting today?
I'm sitting in my apartment in San Francisco, looking out at the fog of the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
All the, we're suddenly okay. Done with Caleb because that sounds actually nice compared to where we're probably sitting. And then Jeff. Jeff is a
guest. Yes. Hello, everyone.
And you're at home, I presume, in the Fortress of Solitude.
Yes, in the underground lair.
In the underground lair.
Yes. Nice.
And then now this is amazing. So you all understand. We've had a great bunch of effort to hunt this person down, and apparently only by cell phone. Corvita.
Hello, everyone. I'm chilling in New York right now, so that's why it's been hard to find me. In the subway.
Exactly. And we are blessed to have back the wonderful new, we've hinted about her and talked about her, Sarah Perez, the new mother. How are you, dear?
I'm good. You're a little good? Sleepy.
A little sleepy?
Good.
Are we sleeping through the night, both of you?
I am, yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And then the master of all location services for his own tri-state region. Wayne Sutton.
Hello, hello, hello. Give me a minute. I'm trying to check in.
Nice. How do you check into a virtual place?
Oh, man. You do it by IP address and cookies. IP.
Nice.
Wow.
A virtual place. Well, Jeff made his own name up for his. So are we going to start with the location stuff then, or are we going to just get into it? It's on our list. So, Wayne, you know, we might as well kick it off. You have started – you've said – you've given the big finger to all the big location services.
Wait a minute.
You know what I mean.
Whoa.
Okay, first of all.
No, this is good. It's way before you defend yourself. You have started something that every city needs, to me, a hyper-local, a regional, more of your friends locally, not all over the world, but you've started your own check-in service. Dude, that's huge.
Yeah. Actually, I'm the do business development and marketing. The founder is Lawrence Ingram, and we came up with our idea when Foursquare was limited to certain cities, and he was like, "We can do this in the Triangle region. We have the community, we have the right people to make it happen." And we built the iPhone app, then launched the social network, and our iPhone app integrates with Foursquare through the API, integrates with Eventbrite through the API. So you can check into events as well. And we felt like, you know, there's a hyperlocal market for businesses who want to have location-based promotions and also for the community to really want to know what their friends are doing and not just where they're checking into at, but get reviews, see photos, you know, more detailed information about local businesses. And so far, so good.
No, I think it's amazing. I was making a joke. I think it's amazing that you guys took that initiative. Now, you also run on multiple devices, too, right? You're talking big time.
Well, as of right now, we launched with the iPhone app, and now we have a mobile web app that you know, works on any web phone, BlackBerry, Palm, go way back. But we're going to be launching a new version. I can say it now for the podcast because it comes out tomorrow. We're launching an HTML5 app tomorrow at one of our regional yearly tweet up, so it's going well. But my thing is, you know, unlike how everybody else in the industry, your blogs, you read it, like the location based wars, the check in battles, you know, there's no value in it. Why should you care about a check in? From our approach, we're hyper local. We want to use API from all the services, even though Gowalla's read only right now. But there's enough people in this world for everybody to check in. All the location based wars, there's a bunch of hype by the tech blogs. And there are going to be some popular ones, but I believe that the local market is where the real value is going to be at.
Well, let's do a poll. So real quick around, Wayne, of course, you used, you know, your tryout. What else do you use? What other services?
I use all of them. So I mean, after trial, then I would probably say Foursquare. I still use Brightkite, Whirl, then Google Latitude, which you can use Google Latitude to check in the buzz.
Yep.
And then after that, then I'll probably Gowalla, of course, and Peg Shot, playing with Food Spot, and I'm checking out. And you know, there's a couple more that's coming out. You know, that I'm keeping my eye on.
So double
friends around me.
Well, I'm gonna ask you a double sided question. Are you using Check.in, which Brightkite started, and are you hooking Tryout to Check.in?
Yes, Check.in is trial is in Check.in. It was came out when they right before they came public. So we are one of the five location based services that you can use with Check.in.
So Wayne, how long does it take you to check in when you go somewhere? Because if you're going to buy a coffee, it could take you like 20 minutes before you can leave.
By the time he leaves,
it depends on where I'm at, what I'm doing, and again, you know, like I said, know the network, know the community. You know, some people don't care. You go to wherever, some other, you know, they care. You know, and then also if I'm going to a place that has a check-in special, so I primarily use trial for everything. After that, is the other big three or four, Foursquare. You know, Gowalla, Brightkite, Whirl.
Well, Sarah, what are you using to check in?
I've monkeyed around with a lot of them. I used Check.in for a while, but I think now I've just decided to go back to Foursquare. Although I don't really use it consistently. Like, I was at the beach all weekend and I didn't check in anywhere. So it's just, sometimes I just don't even think about it.
Corvita, you do a bunch of them. What do you, Foursquare your primary or?
Yeah, well, Foursquare is my only, or except for Brightkite, but I've actually kind of, you know, I've started dissing Brightkite for Foursquare lately.
All right, Caleb?
I use Foursquare and Gowalla. Mainly, I have a group of friends who use Gowalla, and I have a different group of friends who had used Foursquare, and I can't get them to agree, so I have to use both.
Nice. And then Jeff, what are you using?
Foursquare and Gowalla are mine.
See, I don't use Gowalla because I can't get any device to work with it at all for some reason. Check.in a couple times. Like if I use Check.in on one of the browsers, it'll be fine. But I can't use Gowalla direct. It never reads right. So mainly Foursquare. Now, who's holding down the most mayorships? Who's above, like, well, probably Wayne, but who's above, like, I'm talking in the general services too, but above 15? Anybody above 15?
No. I don't have any mayorships. I'm not a location check-in junkie by any means. I don't even really care. In fact, I sit there and I go, why am I doing this again? Why am I doing this?
Well, yeah.
But Sarah, but that's the argument, though. I mean, that's the argument. Everybody's like, you know, why should you check in? Because you're not getting no value out of it, you know? So as of right now, I really think the space is too early for anybody, you know, not for people to judge it. It's like, so what? There's a Starbucks special here. You might get some coffee. Everybody doesn't go to Starbucks. There's a special here.
You might get a Frappuccino, though, right? I don't drink Frappuccinos. Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, I even if I got mayor of my Starbucks, I wouldn't even want the, you know, the reward. It's just so, I don't know. I'm just hoping it catches on with some of my local friends so it actually has some sort of meaning.
Well, Corvita brought it up.
So would you, go ahead.
I was going to say, Corvita brought up that she's tired of checking in. Is that becoming a consensus
for
some?
There's nothing behind it. Like, in the tech industry, it's great. When I'm going to events, like at the 140 conference, when I spoke there, I got, you know, a badge for checking in. But outside of that, like, I just started seeing Foursquare check-ins pop up in my personal Facebook page or Facebook profile. And it's really only from one person on, like, the mainstream level. No one's really using it, and so it's like when I'm using it by myself, and right now New York is still a very new city for me, so if I'm walking around Brooklyn, for example, not really knowing anyone here, I'm not necessarily inclined to, you know, just go walk up to someone and introduce myself just because we're both using Foursquare. Like, these location-based services aren't solving any of the problems that Brightkite and other LBSs initially met with when they first came out. Like, what made Foursquare a little more predominant is is the badges that became like the thing to have. Everyone wasn't on it, and the mayorships were a lot easier to get. But personally, I don't visit the same place all the time. In fact, if you check my Foursquare check-ins, I am never in the same area again. Like, I don't frequent restaurants a lot. I like to go out and explore different things. So for me, the one mayorship that I did have, which was because I stayed at a conference in a particular spot for a week straight, which allowed me to get it. I mean, I recently lost it because I'm no longer in that city or that place. So, yeah.
And that's one of the things that they wanted to make it happen. Like, Dennis Crowley, the founder of Foursquare, talks of, portrays Foursquare as this way to sort of discover a city, discover your city and understand what's going on. And you're right, it totally encourages you to go to the same places, not go out and discover new places. Like, there should be badges for the, like, pushing more for exploring and going to lots of different places and frequently new places. But the mechanic is so much more for going to the same exact place day over day after day. And if you don't do that, you feel like you're doing it wrong. And it's not fun.
Exactly. And they have the specials, but I'm like, well, I'm not checking in to spend more money. Like, wherever I am is where I want to spend my money. I don't want a special around the corner. I want a special right here where I'm at, where I'm checking in. And it's great to hear about what's going on in the neighborhood at the same time. But on another note, I'm kind of frustrated with OBSs because they focus too much, like the marketing, the campaigns that have been going on. It's too monetary, and I'm not seeing the community feedback, which I actually blogged about on She Geeks, because they're not helping the community. They're helping companies, which is fine. There's nothing against that. But it's hard for me to understand why I should continue investing in this platform if I'm not seeing the benefits directly for me in using it. And right now, none of them can say that. None of them can really give me a true and just hardcore reason to continue to check in. Like, none of it is benefiting my life in any way, shape, form, or fashion, or even my business. Yeah. Knowing about them helps with blogging, but if I wanted to take this to a store or even integrate it into my community, my friends are going to be like, well, why am I telling you everywhere that I'm going?
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I feel like the spaces is too early to judge right now, because, you know, we got the major brands with their partnerships. The blogosphere goes crazy when one launches a campaign. But then from the everyday level, for where all the platforms want to go mainstream, everybody asking the same question. Where is the value added for me for my current locations that I want to go to, like you just mentioned? And then the badges thing that you guys have talked about, I mean, that's what Gowalla started off really being, is like explore the area, pick up these badges and drop them off, these stamps. But then they kind of got away from that a little bit. But I think they're going back to that model now. So we'll see. I mean, to me, it's just...
Something more needs to happen with these badges. I don't want to just have a board full of badges. Like, I can't even wear them as pins on me or something.
Yeah. The badges really...
You'd only know if you were really my friend on Foursquare. You wouldn't see it otherwise. Yeah.
No. It's really not about the badges. To me, it's really, you know, it's the value you get for going to an existing location like you mentioned that you already go to, then getting something out of it, or having a certain amount of check-in special to where it's someplace you wouldn't normally go, but it's such a value for you going in there and participating in the special that you're like, why not? Like, we're doing something right now, I'm just shameless plug, but with the Golden Corral and Cary, you get 50% off your meal for a buffet for just checking in using Trout. We got $5 for a buffet. $5. And we limited the first 100 check-ins.
Well, did you guys see what I posted? One thing I was upset about, and I don't know how you handle it, Wayne, but they said it about Foursquare, is the duplication of places. And it loses the advantage when you've got multiple people creating small variances of the exact same place with no quality control based around it. So there's like 50 of the airport that are all exactly the same. I'm not talking about someone at a gate. I'm talking the airport. There's a whole bunch of them that they word it differently. There's, you know, two or three for a Panera's. There's two, and there's no quality control. So how could you ever become mayor when so many people turn into so many different places?
That's a whole nother trouble. I mean, that's a whole nother technology. I don't know if you want to go that deep, but I mean, they just launched, I think, an $8 billion GPS satellite, and that's going to play a big role into helping get pinpoint locations and mobile devices. And then the technology is, you know, there's so many different databases between Simple Geo, Placecast, all these platforms trying to come up with a unified, you know, database. Is not going to happen. That's why we managing our database on our own. It's small, hyperlocal. We can permit duplicates. Everybody else got a mess on their hands.
All right. Well, you know what we'll do is we'll write up some postings on it, because I actually put a few on it about my I put a few of my thought about how much I hated the check-in process as well as control and everything else. But the big news of today, and they're just actually hitting the web, Facebook privacy. Has everyone reset their Facebook privacy with the magic buttons?
Yes.
Well, I didn't have to, because mine was already set up perfectly.
Well, how did you have it set up perfectly? Tell us.
Well, basically, most of my stuff is for friends only, and only like general, you know, more public information is, you know, for friends of friends or for, quote, everyone. Things like, you know, maybe like the where I work or I don't remember, but not things like my status updates or my photos or my videos. Those are for friends only. There's really just, I just don't think there's any point to having that exposed to everyone. It's not what I use Facebook for.
When you went in, how was yours set on the screen itself? When you went actually in there, was it set to custom or friends of friends, or how did you have
custom?
Yours? Custom.
Yeah, most of the settings were custom, but you know, I'm not your typical Facebook user, so I mean, I monkey around with my settings all the time. Every time I hear that they're making a change, I go back in there and go, okay, do I need to adjust something? And I make the adjustments as needed, so they're always kept up to date. And sometimes I check them just to make sure they didn't change anything.
Caleb, what did you do to yours?
Not telling us.
Yeah.
I made mine a little bit more public, actually, because I've found that when I've made a couple more things public, I made some status updates public, and I also made my pages public. And when I did that, I ended up getting some more interesting comments from friends of friends and some other sort of people who were like even a third distance removed. And I like that. And in general, I try not to post anything to the web that I wouldn't want a lot of people to see, because I can't guarantee that it'll never get out. And so I just operate in that way anyways. And so I don't really post anything that I wouldn't want other people to find out about. And so being more public is fine. The only thing that I've kept kind of private is photos, just because I take photos with other people in them, and I don't necessarily want them to be exposed if they don't want to be. But I think in general, the really interesting thing for me with this whole sort of kerfuffle over the past 2 weeks has been the argument that I've heard most is not that individual people who are sort of concerned about privacy saying that it's bad for them. They're saying, oh, I'm just looking out for other people because they may not understand what's happening. And I haven't really heard of anyone with examples where it was actually that the privacy settings have hurt them. And I find that just really interesting, that I just haven't seen this actually be a big real issue. It seems like it's something that people are concerned might be an issue. And
I disagree with that. I mean, I think that we should, as people who are knowledgeable about technology, disseminate this information to people who are less knowledgeable, because they really have no idea what's going on. And you can go to that open book Facebook search page and put in the most egregious terms and find people who are posting this stuff publicly. They have no idea. This just happened. To see the backlash and the fallout from what's going to, you know, happen here when this actually has some negative results. I mean, that's going to possibly take time. Maybe when they transition to their next job and their HR manager pulls up their social network profile and you know, then they're going to be turned down and they may not even know that this is happening to them. They may not know why they didn't get that job. So there's a lot of situations like that. And HR is getting very savvy there's been some studies and some reports about how often HR people do pull up your social networking information and start using it as a way to consider you for the position that you're applying for. So I think it's way too soon to say, well, we haven't seen any bad stuff, so of course it's okay. You know, I think that's short-sighted.
Well, sorry, I checked you all.
Go off, but I feel very strongly about it.
The Social Geeks HR department checked all of you out before you got on the panel, and
good.
I'm sorry to say there'll be some notices going out soon. Now, there's two things they did that I did appreciate, and I know we're using big words like kerfuffles, but there's two things they did do.
Is that a real word?
Caleb. Let me look it up in my favorite dictionary word, Nick. Hang on,
while he looks up kerfuffle. We're looking up. So they one thing they did, if you look under the settings they added for applications, they have a single button now to immediately turn off all platform applications. So they've got a single red X that says just shut it down. So all these additional apps that you load up, you can now instantly turn off, which is amazingly simple for everybody. Probably underutilized. They wouldn't understand what it does. But I wanted to touch on instant personalization. Have you guys run across this instant personalization? So like Pandora and Yelp, when you log in, it gives you the lovely blue bar that says, hey, we'd like to, you know, access some content that's available and also your friends and let you know a little bit about maybe some music you want to hear and listen to. So it reads your information if you don't turn this off or say no thanks while you're there. Go ahead.
It's interesting that this is the one feature that is getting the most attention from regulators and the U.S. senators, mm-hmm. saying that this is the violation of privacy. Because honestly, on the sites that they've implemented it so far, it's not really all that disturbing to me. Now, I could see in the future where, you know, they turn instant personalization on some other site that you wouldn't want to have instantly personalized. And that could be an issue, but to see what kind of music your friends like, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, Last.fm does that anyway, right? It's just using the social graph that you already have in place via Facebook. And it's not really that bad of a feature. Should it have been turned on by default for you without your knowledge? No, probably not. But you could say the same for everything on Facebook. The way that they push these things out, they clearly have an agenda of forcing people to be more public than they're aware that they're being. And I think that that's a very untrustworthy way to run a company. They're opting you into these things because they know that if they made it opt out, enough people would not opt in to make them worth using.
Well, now, let me ask this one then, since you guys are you're debating this one. The info accessible through your friends. So this means when your friends use an application or a game or website that hooks to Facebook and it says, we're going to pull information about your friends. They now let you go in and say what you will share through those applications. Because by default, your name, profile picture, gender, networks, user ID, and anything else you've set to everyone was available to your friend's application unless you turned it off. So they have a setting for this. Now,
not instant personalization, though. That's a completely different issue.
But the same touch. Why would I be sharing my birthday, my online status with my friends' applications? And I this is the reverse question. And why would I want it to go search my friends', you know, status and information when I hit one of those sites without giving it explicit permission? I think that's the fear, is people didn't realize it was a mutual share both ways.
Well, on the one hand, the applications like, you know, take this quiz and to let that application developer have immediate access to all your profile information was just overreach. There was no need for them to have that all that information. But on the other hand, you look at instant personalization of something like Pandora, and it's just saying it's just limited to, you know, this person likes this band too, and they're your friend. It's not, let me look at all your status updates that you've ever posted throughout the years. You know, so it's a more limited access to your private information. Whereas, you know, on the other hand, applications had far too much access to information they did not need.
Well, that's not true. Wait, you said it doesn't read your posts and things like that?
The instant personalization.
Yeah, it reads anything that you've made public to everyone. So if you made your posts, it reads anything you made public to anyone. So anything I accidentally left checked, or if I set it to everyone, it reads that. So it could be posts, or it could be videos, pictures. Like you said, you know, if you go to open face log or whatever it is, anything I've made public then is accessible through the instant personalization. They actually note that kind of in a little, it's in the middle sentence. They kind of just toss it out there. So that's another piece, is they're reading all that stuff if they want to, and they can derive a lot from things that you post, link to, talk about, you know, where you've been. If you post locations, they can actually get a lot of information gleaned from that.
Can we fact check this, someone?
Yeah.
Because I believe that when you're talking about instant personalization, you're talking about docs.com, Pandora, and Yelp.
Yeah.
Period.
Let's fact check. It says on there, these partner sites, Limitude, Docs, Pandora, Yelp, can only access information and content you've made available to everyone.
Okay.
So that's
right. But the way that they're implementing that access is to say, okay, your friends like this band too.
Okay. But do you think the wording kind of leaves it
vague? The wording leaves it vague because I don't see them actually acting on that extra data that they're collecting for no apparent reason.
Okay.
So where are you reading the wording?
If you go to Facebook and go to the new privacy settings for applications, games, and websites, there's a button for instant personalization. When you click edit settings, the second paragraph actually defines that word for word.
Tricky.
So I was just curious. Okay. One of those debatables.
Tricky. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it sounds like you've got it right. I did not think that they were collecting things like, you know, your comments on your friend's posts, because what need do they have of that information to just tell you that your friends also like the band that you like?
Yeah, no, you're
that
right.
It just seems like extra data to collect, and what are they doing with that?
And this is one of the things, and I know that Corvita, you haven't talked yet, or Wayne on this, but one of the big things, and then Wayne jump in, or Corvita, or Jeff, but they leave the wording in certain aspects very still kind of open and blandish for interpretation, which gives them a little wiggle room.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's their current partners. They Docs, Pandora, Yelp. But then, you know, Facebook is using this data internally, you know, for better advertising models, mechanism, you know, you with the social graph, so to speak, to provide a better value for the people who want to advertise within the platform. So while the other ones may be listed, they using the data for the other access. I mean, you know, it's stuff we all know. You know, we all use Facebook different. You know, my privacy settings is, you know, it's totally different than probably everybody else's. And with Facebook, I think for us, I totally agree with what Sarah said, is that it's the ones who, the geeks, it's our responsibility to educate our moms, the younger generation, the kids, about the changes within Facebook, because I think those are the individuals who have bigger risk. And then when something happens, it's one, you know, they, you know, people we know, they're like, well, why didn't somebody tell me about this? Or I would have told them about this earlier. And, you know, because we read and live this stuff every day, everybody don't see it as a risk as we do.
Exactly. And Chris, just to go back to the instant personalization real quick, I did read that sentence just now. And yeah, all right, the way it works is that it does give partner sites access to anything that you've made publicly available through the everyone setting. However, these different sites are implementing that in different ways. So
sure.
For example, Pandora is only pulling, you know, your, we're assuming, they're only pulling, you know, your people you've listed as these are bands or artists I like. However, if you go to Simply Hired right now, a job search site, they are pulling the company name of where you work in order to do Facebook integration with job search. So each site is going to kind of get access to whatever you've made publicly available. It's not they're just going and grabbing everything you've made publicly available. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, and I wouldn't say that. I just said the way that it leaves wiggle room for them to have that ability to pull more information based upon that setting without specifically saying this is what they, you know, this is the identifiable information we will only pull. They let it say, well, if you leave it open for public, we might just grab it and use it as a partner site, you know. So I agree.
Oh, yeah, sure. I could see them doing that in the future, definitely.
I could see it. Anybody else on the new settings and changes? Anything else? Corvita, Jeff?
I just wanted to say
Corvita here.
Well, Corvita, go ahead.
Go ahead.
We'll get back, Caleb. Or go ahead, Corvita.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I notify my friends of everything, and I'm very much, like, my family has started getting online a lot more. So they're on Facebook, and they're posting family pictures. I even had my little sister posted a baby picture of the both of us that we took, and I immediately told her to take it down. And it wasn't because, you know, it wasn't because I had a problem. I think I'm a cute baby.
Good, thanks.
But just knowing, you know, Facebook's rules and policies around this, and the fact that this is like a very separate profile from, it's just strictly family for me, and I don't have a way of controlling the access that other people have to her profile, because her settings are set very different from mine, just because she doesn't understand what's going on. So now my family is very aware, and the new updates to the privacy settings made that easier for me to explain, because they had everything in one place so that you can set it right without, you know, beforehand it was like a bunch of different things you had to go through and manually pick out which ones you didn't want to show. And people don't really want to go through that. Like, no one does. Some people would see that, or the average user would see that and be like, ah, I'll do it later. But the new privacy updates, to me, they've been kind of simplified and packaged together. And that's made it easier to explain. And also, I feel it gives me some kind of control over other people's profiles, even though, you know, it's not mine, it's clearly theirs. But being able to explain it in an easier way and also have them see it, and it translates to what I'm saying, because beforehand I think the privacy settings were just too complicated. So they're better now, but I don't trust Facebook at all either way. Like, they've totally ruined any type of trust I have. And actually, over the past month, I've been taking down a lot of photos and photo albums and just updating friends on, hey, look, if you're going to post the photo of me, I really need you to check with me first, especially if you're going to tag me in it. Just because I know what's going on now, and there are certain things that can be easily crossed over with Facebook that I just don't want.
I'm going to tag you in the photo now.
Well, you can only tag me. See, here's the thing. All the geeks know me as Corvita Raven, but all you guys know also that that's not my real name. So
no.
That other separate life that I lead, you know, I like keeping that separate. It's strictly for my family. It's a side of me that I feel I'm only able to show with my family and with friends that have kind of grown up with me, because it's a different side of me that business-wise you just don't share. You know, it's not appropriate, nor is it relevant sometimes. And I'm very much immature with my family, contrary to what people might think.
Yeah, I think you hit on a really good point there, Corvita, that a lot of this ends up coming down to real social interactions with people and setting up the expectations with them, right? Because before Facebook, if you were to sit down to lunch with someone or meet someone at a party and sort of talk to them about something, you may or may not be happy if they